We are back in the booth. I'm Sean Booth, and hopefully you guys are having a fantastic day. It is Thanksgiving week. Maybe you're traveling right now in the car, wherever you're headed, your final destination. We hope that you get there safe. Maybe you're headed to Fort Wayne, Indiana, or Washington, D.C. Maybe you're going to North Dakota. I wonder how many North Dakotians we have listening to this podcast. I bet not many, but if there are, we love you. We appreciate the support. We are here in Nashville, Tennessee, and we are back for episode 27. And she is back to my left in the hot seat. She is wearing parachute black pants because they're real wide.
That is not it. You're off 0 for 1. Next.
We've got some boots. Pull up those pants a little bit. Let me see how high those things are. Okay, ankle boots. They look like kind of witch's boots.
Oh, they are cowboy boots, and they are booties.
Okay, booties, 0 for 2. And she's got her sides chick shirt with stuffing, with corn, with green beans. Very timely. And a cowgirl hat. Nope.
Wow. That was bad, Booth.
That's welcome, Turkey Cat.
Turkey Cat. Gobble, gobble, baby. These are called tailored trouser pants. Parachutes are okay. Parachutes are like what MC Hammer wore.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are not that.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I take back Turkey Cat?
Turkey Cat?
Yeah,
sure.
I want to go with Gobble Cat.
Gobble Cat. Okay. I like both of those. I'll take both.
Gobble
I've been
Cat
called worse.
Is back. She's been on the road. CMA Awards. Sam Cat won a CMA Award last week, everybody.
Yeah.
Give it up for her. Yeah.
Yay. Yeah, no. I didn't personally win a CMA Award, but maybe one day. But Old Dominion did. So it was a very fun event. It was a very fun night. It's always fun to win. And the guys got to perform with Meg Maroney, their current single, which I have never been a part of an award show where my artist was performing. So that was a new experience for me.
Yeah.
Not much different than if they weren't, but it was exciting to see kind of like the inner workings of what's happening backstage. I'd never been a part of that before. So all good. All good things to report. Life is good.
I love the CMA Awards because it's like one big, giant concert where you get to see the best artists in the industry all playing one night. It's like if there's a concert to go to, I feel like that's the one. And we also saw Meg Maroney play a little show downtown in this like private hotel party thing, which was cool. She's killing it. And Old Dominion, your team. So you won the award too. I'm surprised they didn't give you some hardware.
No, but I do have to say it did feel cool. Like they gave us a shout out in their acceptance speech, which I feel like artists don't necessarily have to do that, but it is a different experience. I've been watching the award shows my whole life, but when someone gets up there and they're like, you know, I want to thank my wife, I want to thank God, I want to thank my management, and they're like, and I want to thank my team, feels different when you're part of the team.
Hell yeah.
And I had great seats. I was like way out of my league there, which was, I mean, I loved it. I was front row for the Jimmy Buffett tribute. That was awesome. And Jelly Roll's acceptance speech lit the entire arena on fire. You couldn't even hear what he was saying when you were there. I had to go back and watch it online to hear the end of it when he was like, I don't know where you're at in life, baby. After that, people were standing, hooting, hollering. I was going to run through a brick wall. I couldn't even hear what he was saying. But I do think that he has an incredible story and people love him. And I was just happy to be a part of it. I was caught on camera. So shout out to all you guys. I got your DMs of the video of your TV getting me dancing after Old Dominion won. That was not my intention. I saw the camera on them, you know, like when they're announcing the nominees, obviously you can see the cameras like on the guys and I'm sitting in the same row as them. So I'm like, okay, don't be weird, Sammy. They win. I stand up. I clap politely like I'm at a golf outing, like, oh my God, yay. And they walk away and I can see the camera go with them to follow them to the stage. So then I did a little dance. Mm-hmm. What I did not account for was there was a camera above me.
Yeah.
And it was whoom, zoomed right in on me. The amount of people that sent me a little clip of me dancing like an idiot in between a million celebrities. And there's me in my Fashion Nova $26 outfit with a cooler full of 2 bottles of tequila and a couple Coronas. She didn't fit in, but man, was she having fun.
That's awesome. Always a good time. I missed it, but I wanted to look at watch the Jelly Roll speech. And even I couldn't even hear it through the phone and the camera because of the fans going crazy. From jail, selling drugs he is the most famous guy in Nashville. I think right now the most popular guy. I've done a bunch of charity events with him dating back 3 or 4 years. I never knew who he was. A lot of people didn't know who he was. And now any charity event that I go to, everybody is there for Jelly Roll.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And, I mean, he is a nice guy.
The nicest.
I wouldn't claim to know him personally. I panicked and called him Mr. Jelly. That was not on purpose. I just like was like, oh, thank you, Mr. Jelly. I don't know, because I'm an idiot. But he just laughed it off, offered me a joint, which was nice of him. And I don't know. I like redemption stories. And yeah. I think that everybody kind of does, which I feel like plays into his popularity. I think people kind of like identify with him. This guy was a quote unquote nobody. And now look at him. If he can do it, I can do it too.
He is the loser's winner.
Is that what he calls himself, or is that what you call himself?
Okay. No, I've heard that before. I didn't come up with that. I don't know if he calls himself that, but that's what I've been told. Anyways, that's fantastic. And we were just talking about it. A lot of disappointment maybe, or just different sides of Entertainer of the Year.
Yeah. Entertainer of the Year is the biggest award of the night. I have mixed emotions about Lainey Wilson was crowned the CMA Entertainer of the Year for 2023. Do I love Lainey Wilson? Absolutely. Do I think she's badass? Yes. Do I think that she has had a year that will set her apart for the remainder of her career? Yes. She said in one of her speeches that at the end of the year, she will have done 186 shows this year. That is a lot of traveling. That is a lot of shows. I think she is something that country music was missing, which I feel like is why she's been so accepted with open arms. And I think, you know, above all else, she's a great role model. It's about, I mean, I don't want to be like, it's about time, because I feel like there's been plenty of role models in country music, but I feel like she's the newest. She is, what you see is what you get. She's not one of those fake people that, you know, you meet them backstage and you're like, oh my God, because those exist. And I am happy for her. But I do, sometimes I get like nervous. That's a little premature for her, because I don't want her to be a flash in the pan. I want her to have a long, successful career. Entertainer of the Year is huge. People work their whole, and I'm not saying that she hasn't worked her whole life. That's the other thing is you might think she's an overnight success, but she's been here for 12 years.
For a while.
Busting her ass. Yeah. So when you think of it like that, is it premature? I don't know. And she said, country music is finally embracing me back, or finally loving me back, which I feel like was equal parts sad, but also kind of eye-opening. I'm sure she's been told no a million times, and now she's finally been told yes. So who am I to say that she doesn't deserve it? But then when you look at the other people in the category.
Which were?
Morgan Wallen, Zach Bryan, I think Carrie Underwood was even in it. I don't know. Just people that have astronomical numbers. Like Morgan Wallen has broken Billboard record after Billboard record. Zach Bryan is just like his own entity and almost like an independent artist vibe. And I don't know. It's just, listen, I'm glad that I'm not the one who has to choose it. I feel like it is an industry voted event. So it's the people who are on the ground, like boots on the ground, that vote on this, which you can argue becomes political, because it does. But I don't know. I mean, I'm obviously happy for her, but I hope this isn't like the end for her, I guess. You know?
I think it's just going to be the beginning. I think that's probably part of why she's voted as the Entertainer of the Year. It gives her more spotlight and, like you said, a fantastic role model. Everybody loves her. She has a great story as well. This puts her on the map at even a larger scale, which is great for country music. I think she, like you said, is fantastic and deserving. And I don't see any problem with it. I'm also like, she's on Yellowstone. That's pretty talented right there.
Totally.
None of those other guys are actors. So I'm all for it. Lainey Wilson, love her.
Big fan.
Big fan.
Bell-bottom country, baby.
That's right. What do you got going on this week? Gobblecat, where are you headed?
This week I'm headed to Fort Wayne, Indiana, Rosemont, Illinois, and St. Louis, wherever St. Louis is, Missouri. I have 3 shows in 3 days. It'll be a quick little bus trip. I leave tonight and I'll be back Sunday morning.
What about Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving. Oh yeah. We're talking about next week. I'm hanging out. I'm going to try and not travel. I travel literally every week. So my parents are going to come into town for a bit. I'm going to do a little Friendsgiving as well. And I'm going to watch my brother play some hockey, and I'm going to eat myself into a coma.
There we go.
And relax.
Do you have any Thanksgiving traditions usually as a family, or now has it kind of changed for you that you're in Nashville?
We're not big Thanksgiving traditional people.
You guys are getting ramped up for the big one.
Well, yeah, but also my brothers played hockey our entire lives. I was a gymnast. And it is a winter, those are winter sports. So there's always a hockey game to be had on Thanksgiving and or the day after. So it's just kind of a break from school and from work and for us to come together and eat. But I wouldn't say that we ever really went balls to the wall for Thanksgiving. And now as an adult, I don't eat either.
Yeah.
What about you?
I love Thanksgiving. I think it's probably my second favorite holiday.
That's a bold statement.
Yeah.
Well, what are your traditions then?
Growing up, we kind of celebrated Thanksgiving and Christmas together on our dad's side of the family because our grandparents would travel down south after Thanksgiving. So we call it Thanksmas. I believe that's from Seinfeld, if I'm not mistaken. And we have a Thanksmas pole that my uncle Brian puts in his house. And so that's our big holiday because we don't do Christmas together. We get everybody there. And we also do that fun game of where you give gifts and you got to pick a number, but it's all real shitty gifts. It's
like white elephant.
Yeah. It's like whatever, like I will literally be running out the door and find something that's broken. Or like one year I just like grabbed a egg carton out of my refrigerator with like three or four eggs, like stupid, funny gifts. And then you just keep going around the room. So whoever's got the last number gets the pick of everything.
Right. You can either pick a new present or you can pick something that someone's already opened. Yeah. See, that gets tricky when it's like real gifts. Like if someone opens, you know, a laptop.
Yeah. And there's always like one decent one, which kind of feels like a laptop compared to all the other ones that everybody will try and get. But I don't know. Thanksgiving, just football. The Cowboys are on every Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So you got to love that. And then obviously the food.
Wait, so then, hold on. I got to go back to this present thing because I feel like, obviously, it's pretty popular during the holiday season, but I think it's hysterical when you play it with your family. Mm-hmm. But do you have a go-to gift that you give? Like,
it changes every year.
Okay, so you don't have a go-to, okay.
No, like I try and be as stupid as possible.
What does stupid as possible mean? Like you literally eggs?
I literally put two raw eggs in a carton and my like little like cousin got it, like 10 years old.
An avocado.
Yeah. One year I gave a life-sized cardboard cutout of Paris Hilton that I used to have in my bedroom.
That is embarrassing on so many levels, but okay.
Yeah. Paris Hilton. She's
who got
back.
That? Wait, who got that?
My uncle.
Does he still have it?
It's in his bedroom right now. No, I don't know who ended up
with
that.
It's in his man cave.
And then the best part is that every year, whatever gift I get, I always leave it at my uncle's house.
Yeah, so he just collects it.
So he collects it, and it's like I just hide it. And one year, I think I had like a walking boot. Somebody gave like their old walking boot after they broke their leg. And I literally put it in his grill, and it was there all winter and spring. And then he opened up his grill in the summertime, and it's like a walking boot in there.
Thank God it wasn't hot out. That would smell like ass.
Yeah, so Thanksgiving's the best. Also, we also always or used to always run in the Manchester Road Race in Connecticut. It's one of like the biggest road races. It's like 5 miles.
Oh, you're turkey trotters?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
For sure.
Sorry, Dre.
No, I know. You're like one of the people on the sideline that are just handing out beers to the
hell
runners.
Yeah. Listen, I'll get up and go to the turkey trot.
Yeah, it's fun.
And I will have a hot beverage in my hand that may or may not contain alcohol, and I will support you from start to finish.
Yeah.
But I am not trotting my ass anywhere, whether turkeys are involved or not.
Well, some years, I mean, not this year, obviously, because I'm sober, but we'll take the beers when we're running, chug them.
Are you going home for Thanksgiving?
No, can't, obviously.
Yeah.
We're about to pop.
Is anybody coming to you guys, or are you guys just going to do your own thing?
We're going to do our own little Friendsgiving thing at the house.
At yours?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you have a good hosting home?
That's decent.
Open yeah. concept?
It's open concept.
So the real question is, if you're doing a Friendsgiving and you're hosting, does that mean you're in charge of the turkey?
Yes.
Ooh, that sounds dangerous.
Yes.
I hope you have a house when the day's over.
I'm probably going to text a nice catering company.
I was going to say, are you going to reach out, outsource this?
That's what I always do. Like I've done the last couple of years, Christmas, Thanksgiving, one year, and I like to get it catered in.
Okay. All of it or just the turkey?
I've done both. It's just so much better.
It's okay. I get the turkey part, but yeah. I am judging you for the sides because Thanksgiving, let's be honest, is all about the sides.
Sides chick.
I'm a big sides chick. I think that I personally believe, and I would run on this as a presidential platform, that turkey at Thanksgiving is simply just a vessel for you to use to get sides into your mouth.
Of course.
Nobody's favorite part of Thanksgiving is the turkey.
Nobody's.
And if they are, you should be careful.
Well, let's get into it then. Final four, top four sides on Thanksgiving. We're going to get Andrew in here as well. We want to get everybody here because we're all kind of from different parts of the country. I'm from Connecticut. We got a Michigan boy.
Yeah.
And we got a Texas.
That's a Texan, but yeah.
And we got a Texas.
And we got a Texas. So let's see, growing up, if our sides are any different. I'll kick it off.
Okay.
Number four, I am going with mashed potatoes. A nice, creamy, white mashed potato. Can't go wrong. You can't really mess it up. That's it. It's just that simple.
Is it from a box or are you doing like real potatoes?
I'm going real potatoes on that one.
That's awfully bold for someone who's going to cater their Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone else will do the hard work.
Yeah. Mashed potatoes. What do you got down in Texas?
Wait. Mashed potatoes just raw?
What do you mean raw?
Raw?
Like no gravy, no nothing?
Just we'll get to the gravy.
But I'm gravy saying, is like, not a side,
a mashed potato is its own thing.
Yeah, but like he's saying, you're just going to eat it plain? No butter, no salt, no mashed potatoes. Like, how do you dress this up? You just slab on mashed potatoes and move on?
I'll tell you at the end of my final four how I'll eat everything.
Hey, apparently there's secrets about mashed potatoes. Andrew, what's yours?
I'll go with my grandma used to make a key lime like jello salad or key lime pear jello salad. And as a kid, it was like my favorite thing. I haven't really been home for Thanksgiving in probably like 6 or 7 years. So I haven't had it in a while. But as a kid, I would die for this thing.
All right.
I got to be honest. I think I would have listed 100 other items before a key lime jello salad as your top four of favorite Thanksgiving items. But we are just full of surprises over here.
I bet you if you Googled top 100 Thanksgiving sides, that would not make the list.
I would be willing to bet a lot of money on that.
I'm happy to be niche.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, good for you, man. Michigan's weird. I love it. My top four, I feel like I'm going to go with a corn casserole. Big corn girl. Love creamed corn. A variation. I mean, I don't know what goes into it, but I know it's probably 18% butter.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it. I love it. Creamy. Corn, I feel like you mix it in with all the other shit on your plate. Perfect. Chef's kiss.
Yeah. I was talking yesterday with a buddy about creamed corn that he makes. He sent me the ingredients in the recipe. I don't think I'll do it, but love it. Love the idea of it.
Maybe your caterers will.
Yeah. All right. Number three, I'm going with gravy. That's my side.
That's not a side.
It doesn't count, dude.
That doesn't count. That's a condiment.
That's a condiment side.
No. Let me tell. So you just eat gravy by the spoonful?
Well, like you said, a vessel, which is turkey.
No. So gravy. That's a vessel. That's a vessel then.
Okay. Then I'll put it in the vessel category. I'll change it. I'll go to rolls. I got rolls.
Okay. I'll take that. Okay. I'll accept that.
I will eat 36 rolls when I sit down for Thanksgiving.
But again, plain.
Little white ones.
Hawaiian. Little Hawaiian rolls.
Is that what they're called? Hawaiians?
Yeah, like little Hawaiian rolls.
I mean,
coated in butter, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, sign me up.
Salty, garlic. That's butter, my third. Gravy.
My in-laws do like they'll put like gravy in a roll, and it is insane.
Inside the roll.
Yeah.
Like in the or like as part of a sandwich.
It's kind
of
like you ever seen those TikTok videos where it's like a chocolate-filled croissant?
Mm, yes. No, I haven't because I am 33 years old, but
you haven't seen any of those? You know what I mean? It's a bakery.
I know what a croissant is.
Yeah, where they put like, or like a donut, where it's like filling in a donut.
Totally.
They'll put just like a little bit of gravy in the roll.
Life-changing?
Yeah, it's good.
It's not a bad idea. I'm into it.
It's very good.
Look at you with your unique responses today. I'm proud of you.
My next two are boring, but.
Okay. Are you cooking at your house?
I've cooked a couple of times, but mostly like Lily will take over that.
All right.
I need a wife. Sounds nice. Anyways, my number three, I'm a big casserole girl apparently, but I'm going to go green bean casserole.
Ugh.
Love it because it's got like the French onion soup, or not French onion soup. What is it? The cream of mushroom, cream of chicken, whatever you mix in with it, with like, I love a little jalapeno crisp on top. Amazing. And it's fake. You're faking yourself to think that you're like eating vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, at least one thing on my plate is green.
Yeah.
Still not good for you, but it's delicious.
Oh, yeah. Green Green beans are tough.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't feel that way about green beans. I feel that way about carrots and peas and ham, but, you know,
what
green
about beans. Ham? You do ham on Thanksgiving?
Ham is the Satan food. What? I will never eat ham. It's cold. It's jiggly. It smells. Do not get it next to me. I don't care if it's hot. I don't care if it's on a sandwich. No ham.
Okay.
I denounce ham. No. Don't even bring it near me. I can't even smell it.
Some ham and mustard? Yeah.
Oh, God. That makes me want to throw up right now.
It's so funny that people have like, everybody has that thing.
Yeah, mine's
like,
ham.
Yeah, yours is ham. Everybody has their like, I will, what's yours?
The first time I ever ate a tomato, I threw up.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you still not like tomatoes?
I gradually will accept them on a sandwich every now and then. But yeah, I will never just eat a raw tomato.
Yeah.
Me neither.
I refuse olives.
Yeah, ugh, same.
Lily will just, like I go to the store and buy jars of olives and she just eats them. And I hate every second of it.
I've probably had 3 olives in my entire life.
Same. And every time I wanted to throw up.
I can't, even if they're like, oh, you won't even taste them. They're just mixed into this. Yes, I will. The only thing I will taste is the olive.
Yeah, dude, it tastes so bad.
It's olives are basically just for people who love like mouthfuls of salt. Like, I don't understand. Yeah. I do want to be a martini girl, like dirty martini with blue cheese stuffed olives. I would love to be that girl. It ain't it.
Nope. Nope. Number 2, can we do desserts in there?
Yeah, throw it in.
That included?
I would say that's a
side. It's part of the meal.
All right. I'll go pumpkin pie. Mm. Pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving is so good.
No whipped cream, no ice cream, no nothing.
Throw a little whip on there. And you don't really have to do much to cook a pumpkin pie, right? Mm-mm. It's pretty simple.
Well, they also like provide them already made in the store, which is simple.
Yep. I'm going pumpkin pie.
And even the shitty in-store pre-made pumpkin pie, still pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's so good.
Probably not better. Bad. Home cooked.
I think it depends. Maybe yours.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But I think, you know, you can't go wrong. It's kind of hard to mess up pie.
It is.
I think. I'm also not a big pie gal. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I it's okay. I'll eat it. But I'm going to choose the rolls and the gravy over. I feel like I never make it to dessert because I gorge too much on the first half.
Okay. You go for seconds and thirds?
Oh, yeah. And like a sandwich and then like some sort of like creative turkey vibe. Yeah. I will do that all day to the point where then I cannot eat dessert. So I feel like I don't really like venture into pie.
Huh.
Does that make me weird?
Yes.
Okay.
Pie's a later occurrence for me as well. My number 2 is Coors Light.
All right.
I'm kidding. I'll go green bean casserole as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's your secret ingredient, though? Because everybody makes it differently.
I have no idea. Never made it. It's got to have like the little French onion frilly crunchies on top, for sure.
The crisp.
The crisp.
That's what takes it overboard. That's what's like gets you through the finish line.
Yeah. Killer.
Mine is cranberries. My number 2 is cranberries.
Just cranberries.
I love sliced cranberries. I love actual cranberries. I love cranberry sauce. I love drizzling it on top. I love putting it on a sandwich. And I think that you do yourself a disservice if you don't break off a little piece of cranberry with each bite that you take.
I am in 100% agreeance on that.
Are you a weirdo that has to have all their food not touching?
Oh.
Or can you mix it all together?
That was my number 1.
I like that you started shaking your head yes when I said, are you a weirdo, before I finished the sentence.
Yes, I am a weirdo.
But you know, some people, they're like, I can't have my food touch on my plate. And I was like, Thanksgiving is your worst nightmare.
If you can't have your food touched, especially at Thanksgiving, just get out of the house.
Yeah, I'm not into picky eaters. I know that's ironic for me to say that I just really almost threw up on camera over ham, but like grown adults that are picky eaters are, get out of here.
Yeah.
I don't have time for you.
Well, my number 1 is, in fact, cranberry sauce.
Okay.
And I'm
not the sliced.
Talking cranberry sauce out of a can.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I'll just eat it straight up.
Love cranberry sauce out of the can. Is so good. And like you said, I will put that on everything, my entire plate. That's why I had gravy as a side. Give me cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, gravy on a roll. I'll just scoop that roll into my mouth and do that for about 150 different times.
I was going to say 10 hours on repeat.
So wait a minute. Your plate thus far is
sauces and carbs.
Yeah. Potato. So like when you are making your plate, it's going to be turkey, potatoes, and then sauce.
And cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sauces.
And what else did I say?
Gravy.
Gravy. You just have like a bunch of liquids and then a roll.
Do you not get all the other stuff? Do you just not like it, or is it just not in your top four?
I usually, yeah, my plate will be a bunch of turkey, a bunch of mashed potatoes, rolls, cranberry sauce, gravy, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay, you're that's missing the most with. Important stuff.
That is the most. Look at your shirt right now.
Okay.
Mashed potatoes, cranberry sauce.
Macaroni.
Roll.
Potatoes, greens. What do you mean, look at my shirt? My shirt is actually the opposite of everything you're trying to prove.
You guys do macaroni and cheese?
Hell yeah. Baked mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah. That's my number. My number two is like a cheesy potato.
Wait, we're number one, baby.
Or my number one. Sorry. My number one is like cheesy potato casserole with cornflakes on top.
Hell yeah. Cheesy potatoes. How did I forget about cheesy potatoes?
I know, right?
I am un-American. I do love it, but I can't back out on my number one now because I do feel like it's just disgusting. And I'm also someone who eats this year round, which I feel like it's a very Thanksgiving forward side. And that is stuffing. I fucking love stuffing.
Yes.
Sausage stuffing. My grandma makes some with like some, I don't know, my dad sent me the recipe last year. I made it for the first time and it was pretty delicious. I was on FaceTime with like three of my aunts. They were trying to walk me through it, which was chaos because I was intoxicated. But it came out awesome. And I have to say, if you don't like stuffing, I don't like you.
I'm a newly stuffing guy.
What?
Yeah.
Are you new?
Within like the last 5 years, 6 years.
Did
I
you just not
away
have
from it.
Why?
I don't know.
Did
I
you just not have good it. Experience with it?
No, I just didn't. I think, again, if it's on its own, it's like decent, but I'll throw that on the plate as well.
It's a risky side because done wrong, it's really terrible. Dry and bad.
Okay, so that is what I was thinking. Like maybe you just had a bad experience with it because I do have to say, like how we were saying pumpkin pie can't really go wrong. You can buy it at the store like, or you can eat cranberry out of the can. You can mess up stuffing and you can ruin it for someone.
True.
That's why I don't fuck around. And when I'm invited to a Thanksgiving, I make the stuffing because then I know it's going to be good. Immediately, I'm like, oh, I'll make the stuffing. You guys do whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Don't sign me up for the turkey. That scares me. Too intimidating.
All right.
Sam Cat making stuffing as a side in like August.
Oh, dude, I do it. I do. I make stuffing year round.
Yeah, because I wonder what's the market like for stuffing. Like their sales has got to be completely non-existent from January till September.
Okay, but I'm also saying that like they can bankroll the sales that they have in the month of November to last them until the next November.
Yeah, it's like the Halloween stores.
I also don't think that there's just like a stuffing company. Like, I don't know that that's really out there, but I do like that you're concerned for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I keep them in business. It's kind of like when you're driving down the street and you see an Arby's and you're like, who the fuck is keeping them in business? You know, like, I really want to know. Please present yourself. Who's keeping Arby's in business? Long John Silver's? Who's keeping them in business?
I've never even been there in my life.
See? This is a drug front. I'm
cracker
not even joking.
Cracker Barrel, all of our grandmothers are keeping them in business.
Bro, I go to Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel smacks, dude.
Yes. When's the last time you've been to a Cracker Barrel?
With my grandma a few years ago, yeah.
Dude, it's good. And everybody's like nice there. I don't know. Don't shit on Cracker Barrel. Arby's, like who's going there? When's the last time you went to an Arby's?
I'm probably when I was 20 years old, maybe.
Roast beef has to be the grossest meat. Roast beef has to be grosser than ham.
No. I'll eat roast beef just like straight out of the package, but I cannot even make eye contact with ham.
Damn.
Ham hater.
I'm not saying that it makes sense. Ham cat. It's just, don't call me ham cat. That's actually the first one that I'm going to say. Nope. I don't know. I don't really have a lot of foods that I'm like, I have a visceral reaction to, and ham is one of them. And I say it proudly. I don't care if it's weird.
Own that.
Are you a football family guy up in Michigan? Like after going outside, tossing the ball around, your buddies playing tackle football every Thanksgiving?
There was always that like crowd that does like their turkey day like game or whatever. And it's like 8 a.m. and they're playing football in like the neighborhood. And I never participated. I'll go out and like if it's not snowing, like maybe throw a ball. I honestly haven't been home. We're going home this week we're home for Thanksgiving and it's the first time that I'll have been home for that holiday in like probably 5 or 6 years. And I've got little nephews now. They're like 4. So I think this experience will be far different than previous.
Why'd you stay here? Did you stay here or did you go to your wife's family?
Well, my wife and my parents, like our families live like 5 minutes away from each other.
Of course they do, Andrew. Of course they
do. So we actually just like, well, we can just kind of pop back and forth. It's great. But I don't know. I lived in LA for a while, and all of college, I just never really was going to go home because
it's a quick weekend.
Yeah. Then you're going to go all the way. Yeah. I'm not going to go all the way to Michigan for 3 days.
So go back for Christmas.
Yeah.
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 I do find it interesting that you kind of do it reverse. I feel like a lot of people kind of gloss over Thanksgiving, especially as you get older and life is pulling you in different directions. You're in college, 3 days home, the price of travel, where I feel like Christmas, everybody kind of gets an extended period of downtime. And that is when a lot of family things happen.
Yeah.
But you guys just like put your thing down, flip it in reverse.
Like, get me out of Connecticut. It is too cold. We want to go down south.
Listen, they're correct.
Yeah.
They're right. Good for them. Can I go?
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like when you say sometimes it snows on Thanksgiving, same thing with Connecticut. When we do our road race, it's freezing.
So cold. Freezing. That's what I'm not looking forward to.
I love it.
Wait, do you do the road race for like raising money or just for shits and gigs?
No, shits and gigs.
Okay. I actually think I would get on board. I haven't been on a run in a long time, but I might run on Thanksgiving morning just so that I don't feel terrible about all the other consumption.
Oh, I thought you were going to say just so you don't have to spend that much time with your family.
No.
Maybe a little bit of that.
Andrew's home. He went for a run. It's the first time he's ran in 5 years.
He went for a run 3 hours ago. I don't know where he is.
Yeah. All right. Well, there we have it.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving sides.
Thanks. I'm excited now. I feel like I know you accused me of forgetting about Thanksgiving because I do love Christmas. And, you know, I get it. But Thanksgiving is a day and Christmas is a season. So they're a little bit different, but I feel like this is the first time I've really thought thoroughly about Thanksgiving, and now I'm excited.
Well, one of the best parts about Thanksgiving is that car ride home from Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And then you can turn on the radio, and then Christmas music begins, and you get excited because then it is officially Christmas season, the night of Thanksgiving.
You can live in whatever reality you choose to. Us happy people over here, we chose to spread joy for longer than, I don't know, the allotted time that you're giving.
Sam Cat and spreading joy, those two words are just go hand in hand.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. You should come to my house right now. It's lit, literally. Yeah,
literally.
It's
lit.
Amazing. And you walk in and you can't help but be happy. You can't help but feel joy. And then it just makes you feel better about going out into the world.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Sir Grumpy Gills over here. And maybe I'm just overthinking because I do that naturally, but have you ever stopped to think that, like, this is your last holiday season not being a dad? But you're not even going to make it through the whole holiday season because the baby will pop up in the middle of it.
It'll be the last, maybe, Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God. What if you have a Thanksgiving baby?
I would love that.
Okay. Well, let's just push for that.
I would love that. Well, we just got back from the doctors an hour ago, and they went to check to see if she's dilated.
And?
Andrew, I got to ask you another question here. Sorry.
Okay.
All good.
All right. This is a guy question. So when they say, hey, you're dilated, what do you think is dilated?
What do you even mean? What
oh, is, Jesus Christ.
What is like, what is a lot of dilation or
no,
what is
what
being
is
dilated?
Dilating. When you think dilated and they're like, you're 1 centimeter dilated.
Cervix, right?
That is right. Yeah. Yeah.
What did you think it was?
Well, you know, I thought, maybe that just like everything just starts opening.
I do have to say, I also saw a recent photo or not photo video that you posted on Instagram where you mentioned the word Braxton Hicks and then followed up with whatever those are. And I just want to take a second to clarify, were you trying to be cute for the internet or did you really not know what Braxton Hicks were?
No, I know that they're contractions. I don't know the actual, no.
Okay. So you knew that they were like contractions or in
the
realm
regular
of
regular contractions.
Sure.
But I don't know what Braxton Hicks means.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure that you knew like it had to do with childbirth at least.
I know that.
Okay. Okay. Well, like, I don't know, man. The way you presented it, I was like, oh, Jesus.
I don't know the difference between Braxton Hicks versus regular. Do you?
Okay. Yeah. But I just, and also,
what is it?
I also want to go, hold on. We'll get there. I also want to go back to how did you not know that you needed a hospital bag?
Yeah, I thought you just go in. Well, I mean,
Booth, have you ever watched a movie?
Yeah, they grab a bag.
But people are making it seem like you need a, did you see all the comments? They're like putting 20 listed items on there. I'm like, what do you need besides clothes?
I guess, well, you know, a lot of things, but it also, not everybody has a quick delivery.
Right.
So sometimes it feels like you're kind of camped out in the hospital. And I don't know if you've ever been to a hospital, but it's not cozy.
That's not.
So people say, I saw them like pillows and snacks and phone chargers and things
like that's like a 10-foot long phone charger.
Right. Because you're going to, I don't know, you're going to be sitting in a bed. You're going to be sitting on a cot. So you don't know if you'll be there overnight. You don't know how many nights. You don't know. You know, it's like a let's prepare for the worst and hope for the best. I feel like is what a hospital bag is. Have I ever had a child? No. Am I speaking out of my ass? Yes. But from what I can gather, it's kind of like, well, what would you want in a waiting room? Because you're essentially in a waiting room. You're not giving birth.
Right.
So I guess that would be like a good mindset for you to pack your bag. Now for Dre, I don't know. People who have given birth should help her because I'm sure
there's a whole different list.
It's a whole different list. And it's a whole different experience. I could pack a bag thinking that I knew everything. And then you get there and you're like, why did I pack like this? You know what I mean? Like you get out of the birth and you're like, okay, so if I have another kid, let's scratch these 9 things and add, I don't know, a hair tie. Why didn't I bring a hair tie when I was going to go give birth? That seems important.
Yeah. No, I guess I was just thinking that I would just run to the hospital. I'd be in my clothes. I live like 10 minutes from the hospital and I'd just be hanging out until the baby's born, like sleeping in a chair and then getting up and going home with the baby. I don't know how much you need. Like, am I going to be showering there at the hospital? God. You say if like some people are there for a few days.
Yeah.
So they just have like a shower in the room.
Sean, have you ever been in a hospital?
I've been into hospital rooms without showers.
Okay, yeah, that's also possible. Yeah, man, you could be there for 30 minutes. Like, Dre could sneeze and the thing could pop out. Yeah. We don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying is that you have to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. Maybe you won't shower for 3 days. I don't know.
Yeah.
You don't have any friends that have, their wives have given birth that you could ask?
I mean, everybody's different, right? Every situation is different.
Sure.
Like, Charlie was there with V. They were literally there for like a few hours, basically.
And that is best case scenario, baby. Yeah. She just squat that thing out. Yeah. Love it. But that's not always the case.
Somebody was like, which I might do, like, you should get a blow up mattress from Amazon. I was like, oh, that's not a bad idea.
I will judge you if you do that. But you know what? You do you. Dre is going to be giving birth to your child and you brought a blow up mattress so you could be relaxed.
No, I mean, she can't pop on the blow up mattress with me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a whole big thing, apparently.
It's going well.
It's a whole big thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the hospital experience is life-changing for obvious reasons, but also just I think a lot of my guy friends that have witnessed their partner give birth, they come out of it just like a completely different perspective.
Right.
And I hope that you have that too, in a good way.
Of course. But also, like, what did our dads bring to the hospital when we were born?
Bro, probably I don't know. Nothing. I was inside my mother, like camping
probably
out.
Probably nothing.
Okay. What does that have to do with anything now? Like, okay, so just because they I'm had a saying, sufferable okay, experience right. that you have to have that
no,
experience?
What I'm saying about this whole bag thing is that it seems like it's a very dramatic thing where everybody's like, oh my God, what do you have in your bag? You got your bag ready. Bag this, bag that. And I thought you just bring like maybe another set of clothes and that's it.
And you could.
Yeah. But hey, now I have a list on my Instagram if everybody wants to check it out. A list of hundreds of things. I'm going to go with phone charger. I'll bring my laptop, right? Watch some movies on there.
Sure.
Set of clothes.
Snacks.
Yeah, but again, snacks. Yeah, I guess snacks.
You're not going to get hungry?
No, I'm going to get hungry, but they have food there.
You ever eaten hospital food?
I know, but I feel like this had to have gotten a little bit better by now, right? No. Yeah, snacks is a good
one. Okay. I was like, I don't know about that.
Yeah,
but
we could order Uber Eats.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's perfectly sanitary.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I've never
bring
delivered a baby.
With me?
Yeah. I don't know that that's allowed either.
Yeah. Throw a service vest on him.
I've met Walter and he would not be well behaved in that vicinity.
No, he won't.
He would pull things out of the wall and probably out of Dre, which is not good.
Yeah.
Let's just keep him at home.
He would. Wait, so what are Braxton Hicks?
Braxton Hicks are almost like false alarm. False alarm. It's like you feel the pain of a contraction, but it's not actually like you're not in labor. You're not delivering. Your water hasn't broken. It's not go time, baby.
It's the pregame.
It is the pregame.
But what is it doing? Give me some more details.
I mean, I just feel like it's false labor pains, is it not?
What do you mean false? Like you're imagining them?
No, I mean like you're not in labor, like I just said. Am I wrong?
Let's see here. Everything you need to know about Braxton Hicks. Let's see here. Wondering if you're experiencing Braxton Hicks. Feeling contractions, hang tight. They may be Braxton Hicks, which are different from true labor contractions. These are your body's way of preparing for labor, and they're perfectly normal in your second, third trimester. What are they? It's the tightening of the pregnant person's uterus anytime before they're actually in labor. Think of them as training for the main event, sometimes known as false labor.
Braxton
Hicks contractions are known to send many people to the hospital thinking their baby's on their way.
Here's the thing about me is I feel like if I ever were to give birth, I have heard so many people go to the hospital early because they have Braxton Hicks and they think they're in labor that I would overdo it and just like accidentally give birth at my house.
Yeah.
Because I'm just stubborn like that. But I'd say I nailed it. Did I not?
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a false alarm. Go time. I feel like it's like a warm-up lap. Like, yeah. Hey, buddy, this is happening, whether you're ready or not. Here's a little surprise. Here's a little dabble.
Yeah, she had them real bad a couple days ago. We had to like call the doctor, and then we went in there today, and then they checked out. She is dilated a little bit. So we're getting there.
How are you feeling? I feel like you're getting a nervous stretch in right now.
No, I'm good. I'm excited. I want the baby here now. We just got in the outfits, like their first little hospital outfit with their names. So we ordered them at the same time. And only the girl one came in.
Maybe that's a sign.
That's what I thought.
I think you're having a girl.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've said that I think you're having a boy before, but I think you're having a girl.
That's what everybody seems to be saying now. They're all changing. At first, it was all boys, and now it's everybody saying girl.
I could be wrong, but I don't think I am.
Yeah. So
only time will tell. Maybe you'll have it this Thanksgiving. Have it. Sweet. That was rude. Have them.
Have you know them, I mean? They.
Them, they. Yeah. It, she, her.
Yeah, we'll let them, they, choose their gender when they come out.
Okay.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Oh, but yeah, it's almost go time. So I'll get my bag ready. And then.
And now you know what Braxton Hicks are.
Yeah. But Christmas will be so much cooler this year with a little baby. Not as fun, obviously, because the baby's not going to know anything.
No.
But just to have a baby on Christmas is pretty cool. Start watching the Polar Express with them. The real good movies, you know?
The creepy ones.
Yeah. And then by next year, one, they should be walking.
Mm-hmm.
Talking a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now
they'll be more alert. Like they'll be more aware and like be able to absorb information around them. So I feel like, again, the magic of the Christmas season that you love to shit on because it shows up too early. I bet you next year when your kid loves seeing lights and sparkles and Santa and all of this, you'll be singing a different tune.
Listen, I don't shit on it. I just think it's more special when you make it a shorter season. Not shorter season, the right season. You don't overdo it. By the time you're sitting around a Christmas tree for 2-3 months, you're like, all right, this is good.
2-3 months? Who said 2 or 3 months?
You.
No, I didn't.
You've had a Christmas tree up for how long?
Literally yesterday.
Okay.
Okay. And so it's what, an extra week?
No.
You're really getting your butthole clenched over
and
a week?
How long do you have it up?
Until I come back from Texas and I will get New Year's Eve or New Year's Day.
You take it down on New Year's Day?
Hell yeah.
I don't believe that.
You're annoying me today. Okay, you want me to video it for you?
Yes.
Because I love a New Year's Day clean. Wake up, take all your Christmas stuff down.
New you.
Yes, I always rearrange my furniture on New Year's Day, deep clean everything, and I get ready to rock and roll into the new year.
All right.
Sorry, my 1 week extra of having my Christmas tree up is really razzling you.
It is. It's unacceptable.
You know what? There have been studies that show people who put up their Christmas trees early are happier. Sorry, I'm happy.
Scientific studies.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
People much smarter than you and I. I figured that out.
Interesting.
I also just feel like, why do you care? Why do you care? You're like, oh, I can't be happy for too long, so I have to make it shorter.
That's not the argument.
Scrooge.
Not the argument. What's the best Christmas song?
Ooh, best Christmas song. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Best Christmas song. I don't know. Because I feel like it, listen, Christmas music is something that I would agree with cannot be overdone. Elongated out. Right. Like,
so
yeah,
when do you start that?
I mean, I listen to Christmas jazz in the morning and that absolutely gets me riled up for the day. I feel like waking up and sitting in front of a Christmas tree, drinking some coffee, listening to some like...
Oh, there's nothing better than Frank
chestnuts
Sinatra
roasting. Oh, I love Frankie. Mickey Blue Eyes. I'm probably going to go home and listen to that now. I just love the cozy feeling that all of that encompasses.
Yeah, that's great.
But I don't know what my favorite Christmas song is. I think it just changes.
I'm going to start going away for Christmas with the family to a colder, snowy place. That's what I want to do. I want to spend every December in like, shit, I don't know, Colorado maybe, somewhere where you wake up and there's feet of snow. You can go skiing. You can go.
Oh, you rich, huh?
Rich. That's not rich.
Skiing in Colorado for Christmas is not rich?
Sure, I don't know.
Hey, you and I have different definitions of rich.
Yeah.
You ever been skiing? You ever been snowboarding in Colorado?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I have. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's expensive. It's
or maybe Aspen.
A little place called Aspen. I was just there. Also expensive, but beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I didn't realize that you were going to go off and get rich. So congratulations to you and your family.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Thanks.
You're going to get matching ski uniforms? Oh, that would be cute.
I did see a video of a little baby snowboarding. The dad's just like holding the kid by its like armpits. Mm-hmm. And this thing is just right in between his legs. Mm-hmm. It's a little girl. It's the funniest thing ever. Just a stoic look on her face. I think like probably around 1 year old.
Yeah, they start them young, especially if like the parents are super talented or my brother plays hockey. So I feel like a lot of his teammates, if they have kids or people that have played, they'll pick the kid up and put them on skates and can skate with them. Personally, I would never do that because I'm not a good enough skater to do so.
Right.
But like if you're feeling comfortable skiing down the mountain with your kid in between your knees, go for it.
Yeah. Hockey.
I don't know that.
Subjects.
Okay.
To a much darker subject. You see that guy who died? Mm-hmm. Did you see the video?
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the most disgusting videos I've ever seen.
That
traumatized me.
Horrendous. And just, I don't know, horrific. I don't know what I think about that. I think that you shouldn't watch the video.
No. The guy just got arrested for manslaughter,
did he?
I think. Attempted manslaughter.
Yeah. I don't know that. I don't know enough about the situation. I've only seen the clip. I wish I didn't. You never want to see a freak accident happen in general, but when you can't trust that it was a freak accident, I feel like it's even worse.
I mean, that guy put his skating leg up pretty damn high.
And aggressively. And you know that you have skates on your feet.
You're also one of the dirtiest players in the league, they said. And if you're at home and you don't know, this guy was playing in a hockey game and he was basically just going down the ice and some other guy came flying in, did like a 360 kind of swirl, threw his foot up there and it just sliced the guy's neck right open right there and he died.
Yep. And he was, I think, 29 years old.
Engaged.
Super young. And I used to work in hockey, so I feel like that industry or that corner of the world is very small in general. So the people that I know that knew him, I feel like make it way too close to home. It wasn't just someone I saw on the internet. It was like someone, I didn't know him personally. And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that like when it's just one degree of separation, all of a sudden it's like way too close for me. So I don't want to think about it, honestly. My brother still plays hockey. Obviously there is a risk to anything that you do that's athletic or even not, just leaving your house is a risk. You just never want to think about the possibilities because I feel like that's a dark hole to go down, but that is rough.
They gotta all wear neck guards going forward, right? I mean,
I think that
I'd be like, yeah.
TJ Oshie, he plays in the NHL here and I feel like he's a pretty well-known player. He started wearing the neck thing shortly after that. I don't know if it will become required. I don't know if it will just be personal preference. I don't know. I mean, they used to play hockey without helmets, without any face, anything. So that's insane to me to think about the level of risk involved in that in general. But I think the safety precautions in sports across the board have grown immensely. Like if you think about, my dad jokes about like when he played football, there was like no padding in his helmet.
Right.
It's like you see an old football helmet. It's like, what?
Nothing.
No wonder these guys
backpack over there.
Correct. And no wonder these guys have CTE and all this brain damage. It's like, so across the board, I think all sports are kind of really stepping up, which obviously anybody should appreciate. I think anybody who has an argument that it like makes them soft is probably busy doing something stupid with their life. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. It's sad. Freak accident. I mean,
it kind of makes me sick to like think about it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I would like to move on, please.
Yeah. How about figure skating?
Are we just going winter sports now?
Winter sports.
I'm a pretty good figure skater.
Are you?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm good. Like I was saying before, I don't know that I would trust holding my child up and doing a lot of moves, but like I can skate around and do some spins, do a little scale, little air basket down on one knee or one foot and like put my foot out.
I feel like that kind of translates over from gymnastics.
I just think like body awareness does. But actually when I lived in Illinois, when I was growing up as a kid, in our blue house, we had a decent sized backyard and my dad would build. Oh, okay. Got it. That was impressive. Speaking of skill, my dad would build an ice rink in the backyard every year.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So my brother obviously plays hockey. All of his friends would come over. Some of them played hockey. We would have tournaments. I was a fantastic goalie, not by skill, but by luck.
I was going to say, we're going to throw a Sam Cat in net.
Yeah, I was good at it because I was like flexible and quick and, you know, not a strong skater. So you don't really have to be a strong skater to be a goalie. But I think that's where I mostly learned how to ice skate.
Yeah.
And that's like, I don't know, thinking back to that, it's like some of my fondest childhood memories.
I was just going to say, the person, the kid who has a ice skating rink in their yard, you remember that. I remember my buddy, Peter Dennis, he had one in his yard that his dad made. I'm like, that stuff right there that the dads do like that, kids will remember that the rest of their lives.
It was so fun.
So awesome.
And we would skate and then we had a hot tub. So we would skate, be freezing, and then just jump in the hot tub, which I'm sure we ruined my parents' hot tub. Sorry, but some of my friends still to this day, when my parents sold that house, they were very sad. We were the fun house. We had the trampoline. We had a dance studio. Oh, yeah, you know, everything. We were allowed to live at our house.
Right.
And I had, you know, some of my friends didn't have the same environment. So my parents were like, the more the merrier. I got pizza rolls in the oven. We're doing it.
It's the best. You have a pool back there too?
No, we weren't rich, Sean. We were just creative.
You weren't rich, but you had an ice skating rink and a trampoline.
Yes.
But no pool.
I'm sorry. Do you understand the price difference in the two things that you just listed?
I don't know. You could get a nice above ground pool.
Sure, sure, sure.
That's
what I'm
talking about.
No, we didn't. We had a hot tub.
Yeah, but you're not rich.
No.
Hot tub's more than a pool.
I wasn't checking my father's finances. I'm sorry. I'm just saying, I was thinking like an in-ground pool. Like those are expensive.
Oh yeah. None of us, we didn't grow up rich either, but we all had those above ground pools.
Yeah.
Those are wild.
Dude, I used to love like spinning in a circle and making the tide go. And you just coast through it.
Yeah. Whirlpool.
I might just do that in my backyard now.
You should.
I've thought about those little blow up pools when it's 3,000 degrees here in Tennessee. I'm like, I could just sit in it. Have myself a cocktail in my backyard. I live next to some college kids. I'm sure they'd come join me.
Oh, that'd be great. Do they keep you up at night or what?
No, they're nice boys. They're like in a...
They're nice boys.
They're nice boys. Listen to me like I'm a grandmother. They're in grad school. I live next to the campus. Mm-hmm. So they're older than, you know, 20-year-old know-it-alls. So they're respectful, but they are funny. I feel like it's almost a little nostalgic for me when I see them. They work out in the garage. They're not very quiet then, but... I say that I'm equally as loud. I have my windows open and I'm singing The Greatest Showman. They deal with it. So
do you think they think that you're super old?
Yes. Oh, 100%. Yeah. They do. They like one of them called me ma'am and I almost passed out right then and there, but they also know, they don't know my job, but they know that I'm in and out a lot. So they look out for my house for me. They're like nice. Like I said, they're nice boys.
They're nice boys.
They're nice boys.
Yeah. You should give them like, you know, send over some treats.
I do.
Them.
I bake for them. If I have extra cookies and stuff, I leave it on their front door. I mean, they're good neighbors. Like one time they came over, they needed whatever for their grill that I had. It's like pretty much the only neighborly relationship I have. So I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I feel like that's gone away.
It makes me sad.
Relationships.
I wish that that was more prominent. I also live in condos, which are not just like the tall and skinnies that look like apartments. They're like individually placed, but I am connected on one side to someone else.
Okay.
I don't know those people at all. They're not nice. They're not kind. I don't hear them. Nothing. They don't, like one time she was walking out to check her mail and I said hello. She just didn't even acknowledge me. And I was like, okay. Oh,
yeah.
Bad day. But the boys are on the other side and they're, we have like a little, we share a yard.
Okay.
So we kind of see each other a lot.
Yeah. I got one neighbor across the street from me. The guy just doesn't wave or say hi at all. He walks his little dog. He's this old guy. And I'm like driving by, I'll wave, I'll walk, I'll say what's up. He's never once acknowledged me.
Have you ever seen the movie A Man Called Otto?
Yeah. Is that with Tom Hanks?
Yeah. Maybe he's a man called Otto. Maybe you need to be nice to him.
That movie. I only saw the first part.
I ugly cried in that movie.
He was also mean.
Is your neighbor not mean?
No, he's not mean.
Oh.
He doesn't say anything.
Oh, he's just mute.
He's not like, he just, I don't know, maybe he's deaf and doesn't hear me say hello.
Maybe. That is a possibility.
Yeah. And then I got a couple kids to my left side who are like just little nice boys. Like young, like middle school.
Okay, so actually boys.
Like running around and doing fun stuff. I'm like, yeah, that brings back all the feels.
I do miss, I hope that if I ever grow up and move to the suburbs and have a family and do the whole thing, that I have a neighborhood feeling neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I know it's not English, but yeah. Bel Air Court, where I grew up, I was the oldest. And it was all boys. And then there was one girl. Her name is Natalie. And she was like the bookend at the other end. I'm still in touch with all of those kids. Consider them my brothers. Always at our house, back and forth. Babysat them the whole nine yards. And I just hope that my kids have that experience too.
Yeah. It's cool.
I don't want to accept that that is gone. Because I think it exists. You just have to find it.
It depends where you live. We grew up kids on all the houses. We lived in a cul-de-sac. It was like a perfect little neighborhood. We played every day together outside, baseball, and the girls would be dancing in the garage, and we played Zap, which like laser or flashlight tag at night. We'd be outside till like 9 p.m. in the pitch black, and then our parents would literally open up the doors and just yell for us to come home.
It was amazing.
I would never do that now, though. Depends where I live.
Don't say never.
But I'll put a tracker on my kid.
Okay.
I'll inject them psycho with like person. One of those things that you inject the dogs with where it's just like.
I don't know that you should be publicly proclaiming this to literally a global audience when you're, what, a week away from having a child?
That might not be a bad idea for all the child trafficking. Do you know Nashville is one of the biggest cities in the country of people getting kidnapped?
Yes.
Is it because of the proximity to the highway right here downtown and they can get on and they can go north, south, east, west? That's what I heard.
We're right in the middle and we are a direct. Yeah, I don't want to think about that either. Why are we getting so dark? But you know, the thing that baffles me, which I feel like I try and be a very hard target at all times, because it is not the creepy guy in the dark behind the dumpster when you're alone. It's in the middle of the fucking mall parking lot in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think there's some sort of stigma or just something that I imagined or someone told me. I don't know if anybody else is on the same page as me, but I picture in like an unsafe situation. It's like, nah, this is happening in the public parking lot.
Of course.
And that is the part that scares me.
So tell me how you come across.
Well, I try to be alert. Like I try to be a hard person to capture. I don't know, because
you just walk in a zigzag in the parking lot.
Sure. Yeah. But I feel like there is a lot to be said about something. I don't know. I'm not saying that I could go missing today for all I know, but like being alert, being off your phone, being aware of your surroundings, having your hands free, being just, I don't want to say alert again, but it's like you walk around like this all closed in and you're not paying attention to anything around you. You get caught off guard, you're an easy target.
Yes.
So I just try and be a difficult target.
Yeah. Well, if you did go missing and you had a microchip in the back of your neck, I'd be able to find you.
I'm pretty sure that they would find the microchip on me and then I wouldn't have it.
Yeah, when they cut your head off, then right. The microchip would be gone.
Yeah, so are you going to find my head?
Yeah.
Yeah, please return to my parents. That would be good.
Yeah, but I've seen documentaries of people just in the broad daylight. They're looking on surveillance cameras. It's like girl's gone missing. And then she's literally like walking back to her car and then a car just pulls up right next to
yes.
it. Throws her in.
Yes.
Gone.
And that's what I'm saying is that ultimately you can't. I want to say childproof yourself. What is the word I'm looking for? Like, you can't fully be unabductable, whatever. Like, but I try and make it as difficult as possible. If what I can control, I'm going to focus on that. But like, yeah, you get to your car and someone jumps out and there's three of them and one of you. I don't know what you can do, but you bet your ass I'm going to fight like hell.
Yeah.
Oh.
Pack some heat with you. You got some spray?
I got spray. Yeah. I got a little thing. I got a thing that like if
you a little bit of everything from your dad is mm-hmm. like mails you stuff mm-hmm. like, hey.
I also have a non-lethal gun. Yeah, it's a Byrna, BYRNA.
Okay,
it looks like a gun.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just try and be, listen, I'm a single woman that lives alone and has to be, and I travel a lot mm-hmm. alone
mm-hmm.
I
hey,
think
don't give out too much information here, they could be listening right now.
I You're dare you, motherfuckers.
Woman. You live in a house with five big men.
My neighbors, though, those nice boys, yeah, they'll nice take
boys,
care of me.
Those nice boys are big boys. You heard her. They work out in the garage.
Listen, you want to come into my house? I dare you. Try me.
Damn. Yeah, they'd be like Macaulay Culkin over here.
I got a shotgun in my house.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I don't know if I should say that, but...
Yeah, let them know. You also have a laser in your house. You have grenades in your house. You have a bomb.
I got a bunch of knives. Yeah.
Yeah, you got knives.
Except for then, I think if anything were to ever happen, like, what would I do? I'd fucking jump out the window and run away.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to sit around and see if I can hurt someone. I'd be like, deuces.
Oh, I would hurt them. I would dare somebody come to my house. I already have it. I've got it all mapped out in my head.
I don't know if it's just like intrusive thoughts, but I have thought like if someone gets in my house, what is my plan?
Oh, I know exactly.
My bedroom is on the first floor. So I feel like I have exit plans. And then I have like, if you're fucked, this is what you should do.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a gun right next to my bed too. I'm like.
Well, mine's non-lethal, so I can't kill him.
Oh, mine's lethal.
Yeah, but I don't, that makes me nervous because I'm a very clumsy,
I know.
Forgetful
person. It's a different
person.
Feeling when you have like a gun or guns in your house. And you're like, yeah. That can cause a lot of
And
damage.
I know that that's like a huge taboo thing. People have a very polarizing opinion about guns in general. I don't know that I have that. I think that if you're trained and you know what you're doing and you're comfortable with it,
right.
Who am I to tell you what you can't exactly. keep in your house?
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel trained. I don't feel like I know what I'm doing. So mine's non-lethal, baby.
Yeah. Well, we'll get you trained up. We'll get you some lethal firearms.
I'm good.
In the gobble cat house.
I'm good. I don't need any of that, but thank you so much for your consideration.
All right. Well, whatever you do, don't mess with her. Don't come to my house. You ain't going to make it past the front yard. And on that note... Here we go. Happy Thanksgiving. We love you guys. We hope all of you guys had the best times with your family. Stay safe out there. Don't get abducted.
Oh, my God.
See you next Monday. Team on three.